I was talking with Anne at the break, and her comments and her prayer were so perfect to what I had intended to say, and we did not communicate. Mm-hmm. And I see that kind of thing happening all of the time, and that just screams out community to me. And in those times, I'm really being hard on myself, and I feel like I'm not doing enough, I'm not out there enough, I'm not agitating enough, I'm not courageous enough, I'm not. I say, yes, that's true. And here's somebody who is doing it, and here's somebody else who's doing it, and I can take comfort in being put into that body of Christ, and that body of good power that's there. Fred Kelly and I joke all around all the time about this, and I say, no, the only reason the world hasn't clashed is because there's more people doing good than there are doing evil. And I tell my children, the only reason you hear about all this evil on television is because it's news, it's rare. and I firmly believe that, and I think if we just take a look at this group, and the people that didn't put things on here are still exercising good power. The things that are on here are the good power. And I love this. Smiling. Yeah. How important. There's a story coming out of the Holocaust, which is harrowing. But there's a gentleman who lived in a Polish village, a rabbi, whose custom was to greet everyone in that village, Jewish or not, with a warm greeting, you know, warm and polite. He was taken into a concentration camp, and they were doing the sorting. And who was there doing the sorting but a person from his own village? Mm-hmm. And he greeted him as he had always greeted him, and he was like a saint. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the power of that smile, that warmth, that changes things. It's the mothers who say, stop. It's the women who sit out there on the porch just to remind the others that there's good. reducing taxes, we saw up here. there's a huge movement of people that have voluntarily worked for less and less and impoverished themselves so that they are not supporting the militarism. They don't want the imbalance. To nourish the spirit within and letting my light shine. Oh, yeah, that's being. That's that ministry of presence. Listening to another's pain. And during the break, we got to talking about there are people who listen. That is their ministry. But what happens to them? Do others listen back? And that's that whole loneliness cycle. What do we do about those people who are caring for the lonely, the shut-ins and the homeless and then they are the ones that are going to be experiencing loneliness to a greater proportion than average. Who's caring for them? And so that give and take of community, embracing our weaknesses and taking time to listen, but also asking to be listened to. Conversing with interest, making websites, hallelujah, anybody? My utmost respect. Talk about, and a lot more. writing legislators, very important, working for peace, telling the larger story, context, and setting context, I think, is a form of good power. And the example I'll give you is when we had the almost successful terrorist attack on Christmas Day, and you know what has blossomed from that. Gwen Eichel on the NewsHour pointed out that in 10 years, there had been 6 terrorist attempts, and that included 911. She says that works out to one episode every 1.6 million flights. Context. Does that scare you? Would you get on the train or on an airplane if you knew that there's 1.6 million chances to one that you're going to have a successful flight? So context is another form of good power, and we don't get it very often. So being able to tell the larger story. Another point, I'm going to stop talking because I want questions. the only book I've ever read in my life that gave me nightmares was, I block on it just because it was so awful. It's this thick. It's by Robert Fisk, who's a journalist who lived in the Middle East, and he wrote the book. It was an international bestseller. The Great War for Civilization, The Conquest of the Middle East. And what struck me was he had said that I don't have nightmares about these things. And the thing that makes this book horrific is that he does not soften the description of what war is about. And he says, I don't have nightmares about these things, but I remember. And I think that's part of that taking a larger view. We need to remember our history. We need to remember the people that were incarcerated because they were Japanese in World War II. We need to remember the dark side as well as the good side, because the good side is going to give us direction, and the bad side is going to tell us, we don't want to go there. And you need the both. Okay, so any other reactions to this community we have? Yeah.
That experience you had just said of civilization, maybe the good experience I had within the last 24 hours, and that is I've really been sort of fighting depression as to where it feels like civilization is going on. It feels like an incredible breakdown. And an ad on the television was for 300 hours of the Nazi situation, you know? Mm-hmm. And so they did loads and loads to advertise this filming of it. And you saw the throngs of people in the streets in Germany out there adoring Hitler, you know? And something shifted in that just shifted. Mm-hmm. Not at a price. Mm-hmm. There were people who had to go and, you know, sacrifice their lives to put an end to it. Mm-hmm. But that which would have looked like it would have been impossible to shift has shifted. Mm-hmm. And now we're at the point, myself, of going to Germany in April, and we're going to visit a German family, and we are just so aware of what's happening in Germany around, like, being converted. Mm-hmm. You know, and their resistance to the bad power. Mm-hmm. And so sort of that gave me at any rate a shift. Mm-hmm. That all is not. All is not.
Yeah. That's true. And Germany did, again, something that historically had not happened before. In their, with Grunstad, the parliament, their official thing, they actually apologized for the Holocaust. And they didn't just apologize, they listed all of the things that were a consequence of that. And it was a public, official apology. It had never been done by a government before. We've had, you know, amnesties and all kinds of things, but the responsibility, and the Germans are very dedicated to that journey of forgiveness, and they're taking it, and they've taken it. They're to be really admired. Yeah, it, the good news doesn't get shared. Oh, but oh wait, I'll ask questions. But there's some wonderful good news that Mortensen shares about Afghanistan. Here. Oh,
when you were talking about politics before as a social contract, mm-hmm. I forget what you said about war and the statement that you made about politics.
Well, he kind of associated politics with bad power, and I think that's a mistake.
Because he actually gave a talk many years ago called, I think the title was, The Gospel is Both Political and Mystical. Mm-hmm. So I know that he brings the two together. But it made me think of a book by, talking about good power and bad power, by William Kavanaugh called Torture and the Eucharist, and he was writing about Pinochet's reign in Chile of terror, and how he brought the people together through power by torture, And so what Kavanaugh is saying is the Eucharist presents a powerful resource to bring people together in communion for good. And he was saying that we should not politicize the Eucharist. We should Eucharistize the world. In other words, the Eucharist should be making a countercultural alternative statement about another world that it exists inside the world, so that people actually can have a choice. Mm-hmm. But at, right now, the Eucharist isn't, you know, that's not what we're saying. The Eucharist is very political mm-hmm. right now. But that point about Eucharistizing the world as being a resource for communion mm-hmm. and bringing us together, it is.
That's Terre de Chavannes, Mass on the World or for the World. It's so beautiful because it has that same extraordinary vision.
Mm-hmm. Years ago, my son was in a bad accident and suffered from post-traumatic stress syndrome for years, and he had a very bad back that he was dealing with. And after maybe a couple of years, he was doing better. And someone said, well, how come you're handling this back problem so well? And he said, well, I've made friends with the enemy. And I think that says something to this whole process, mm-hmm. that we need to make friends with the enemy and continue the dialogue and to eat them up.
Well, that's a profound insight on his part. Really a blessing that he's received in embracing, I mean, that is a real embracing of the weakness. And God bless him for his courage. It does take that too.
When she was mentioning Germany, I had an experience there this fall of being in Berlin and standing in the Brandenburg Gate, and right to the right of the Brandenburg Gate is the Holocaust. Which is an astonishing, painful exhibit of just these standing stones. And then, as I was standing, that was to the right. To the left is the Reichstag. And then, as I was walking through the Brandenburg Gate, I saw this room that said Silence Room. So I went in, and right in the gate is this room that some of the citizens of Berlin got together and built, and it's a little chapel. And there's a room there that is just a silent room. It just has and it's for all faiths, so it just has a kind of a mandala on the wall, and then they give you a little flyer that explains it and has the UN prayer for peace for everyone. And to me, that was such an enormous symbol of the old Germany, what had happened, the new Germany, and then this, in the middle of it, this wonderful spot of peace. And just enjoy to sit in there for a while and just be present with it.
There. Absolutely. Thank you.
I think an example of good power is really basic in just giving good examples. The way you live your life. Mm-hmm. And you'll never know what you're doing, but.
I agree. So there's that, you're not going to be able to quote it well, but you all are familiar with it, about when did I see you, hungry Lord? What strikes me in that passage is people's ignorance. You know, I didn't see you hungry, I didn't see you in prison, I didn't see you sick, and whenever you do this to the least of me. And that's our journey, you know, that's part of this community. We do not have a way of touching the ripples that come from our being. We can't do it. And so we don't know when we have done good. And I think that's probably a very wise thing. I mean, given the power of the ego, it's probably a good thing that we don't know. But there is that. Very much so.
A couple months ago in the call session, somebody said something that really expresses that also. It says something to the fact that many of the things that we learn are caught and not taught.
Yes.
And
I think that's another story that we could be putting up here. All of those influences on us that probably the person, giving that influence wouldn't even know about. And maybe you didn't know about it until 2 or 3 years later. And you think, oh yeah, that person was really helpful. I wonder where they are. And they've disappeared. It's been one of those little angels brought into your life to touch you. Yes, Keith.
Some years ago, I went to a conference of handicapped people.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that really struck me was the power of community can spiral up or down.
Mm-hmm.
The leader let him go on for a while, and pretty soon everybody's telling war stories.
Yes.
You think you've got it bad. It's all their fault.
Uh-huh.
And then he stopped it after about a half hour and said, now look what we're doing. It will take 10 goods just to make up for one bad in the way you people are going.
Mm-hmm.
And he really turned it around. There was a big silence. And then they all said, yeah. So all I concentrated on the pain and the rejection and the loneliness. And I ignored the hands that are stretched out to me.
Mm-hmm. And that's that deeper message that Rory is saying that we get because of what the trials and tribulations we've gone through. Yeah. What a skilled facilitator you have. The catharsis is important.
Yes.
But then the awareness has to be brought to bear in terms of, whoops, what's happening to the energy now because of this, and gets it redirected. Yeah, skilled facilitator, too. Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
A woman that everyone knows, Dorothy Fish, just died, and talking about good power, she was totally in a wheelchair, couldn't do anything, but she had good power, and it just emanated.
This is what I bet her prayer, her power was.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and again, I'm guessing, but it's a safe guess. Do you know when you're being prayed for?
Yeah.
In those times in life, you know, for some unexplainable reason, some kind of calm, some kind of peace, some kind of sense of well-being just sort of moves in, and you notice, or at least for me, I wonder who's praying for me. You know, that I know it's not coming for me, and I know I haven't even asked. So maybe it is one of my prayers, you know, that I don't know what to ask, and God's going to answer it anyway. But I have a feeling that I'm feeling a powerful prayer. I mean, you have people like you just described. I think that is their power. And I've seen it and lived in others. It's really wonderful to see. Even better to experience.
With Dorothy, it was in addition to, I think, a practice of prayer, her outrageous sense of humor.
Okay, there's another, yeah.
She had ALS. And she drove her wheelchair like she got off on it. You know? And I just loved her cheekiness. You know, I think someone said all of her came back and that she called in.
Uh-huh.
You know, she called in all the ways that she had served other people. And she felt, I think,
sort of a kind of dignity in spite of not being able to move up much muscle, but her right to be here and her right to not hide her incapacity.
You know,
yeah.
I like that cheekiness that she
had. Yeah. And in an oddball way, she looked at her ALS as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
She told her sisters that this last year was the happiest year of her life.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Because her family is involved.
Oh, okay.
Tom, I was struck when you were talking about forgiveness. The Our Father, where it says, forgive us our trespasses, we forgive those who trespass against us. And it almost sounds like two separate things. But really, they're one of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have God's forgiveness without, you know, our own forgiving. And when we forgive, it is God forgiving. They're two sides of the same coin. And that connects to my understanding of justice when you were talking about justice. Biblical justice is different than, in my mind, most, whenever we use the word justice, we should see a scale, you know, that gets down. Well, biblical justice is what I would call asymmetrical. It's based on God's justice, which says, I love you whether you deserve it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the kind of justice we should practice for others. If me, God's justice is based on his promise that I will be with you always until I bring you back to the place, you know, from which you were sent. And so it's the faithfulness to believe in the goodness of creation, no matter what it looks like. And so that's his favor of the personal. So God's justice is different than our sense of justice.
And it's a handout. I did put handout over here. That sort of, it's not stated as well, but that's sort of what I'm saying about looking for the expectations, because within justice, there is comfort and there is winning. And that doesn't feel gospel to me. Right, but it is what some people, you know, I won, therefore,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. And they see that as a natural consequence. That would be a just consequence. Pretty soon people come to blows. I look more towards that reconciliation model. That feels more gospel to me. But that's pretty scandalous out there. It's hard to do. You know, there are people. Your self-righteousness feels pretty good sometimes. and there are people and situations that are very, very, very difficult to forgive. And I just hold it and hold it and hold it and hope that there's going to be, because the intention is there, that I'm going to arrive at some point where there's some reconciliation, or at least I can say, well, it's not my fault. I don't know. But you're right, there's... Christianity, and I'm too ignorant of other faiths to be able to expand it, but I think it's true there, that we stand as a countercultural piece. We're in that realm of yearning for the good power and being a witness against, or we're really being a witness to the alternative to what we think is the status quo. So you have people in South Africa predicting a bloodbath. You had lots of people leaving. You had lots of people buying guns and ready to defend their property and so on and so forth. And it didn't happen because something else, an alternative, took place. And the story I heard was that it had deep, deep roots in mediations that were conducted around the sharing of water, which was a critical resource. Mm-hmm. And so these communities throughout South Africa had had the experience of an alternative. So when it came to the overthrow for the change in their government, the people were prepared. But that's a different kind of witness to the alternative. And it's absolutely not a balancing thing.
With amends, whether there is a healing takes place with the other person, if I'm making an amends with someone else, mm-hmm. whether they accept it or not, does not restrict my freedom.
It's not concerned, right.
And really, the onus is on them. Mm-hmm. The only result, which I'm not interested in, is whether they accept it or not. In other words, their well-being. Mm-hmm. I have done everything I can do to better their well-being mm-hmm. and my own. Mm-hmm. So I've walked away from an amends, even though it's been rejected, feeling better about it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I've cleaned my side of the street. So it really doesn't matter how people react. You know, if that's a reason, mm-hmm. that shouldn't be a reason.
Mm-hmm. That flower in the gravel.
Yeah, yeah. You shouldn't have any expectations.
Yeah. No.
You know, what the future is that's it.
It's common.
It's totally in the now thing.
Right. It's common to have the expectations.
Oh, it is.
But in the long run, if you tie the energy that is behind forgiveness mm-hmm. to somebody accepting it, you destroy the possibility of that doing good.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that ripple effect, you never know. You might experience a moment when someone hasn't accepted the amends that you're offering. You never know really what happens 5 years down the line with that person, 10 years down the line. It's your faith that says that flower growing in gravel is somehow going to alter things. Mm-hmm. And it does. Mm-hmm. Through history. And Judith, and then I'll come back to you.
Well, bringing up Dorothy Fitch made me think of the power of those who have gone before us, because as I sit here, my mom's she passed away 1 year ago today.
Mm-hmm.
So
let's remember Dorothy, right?
I was thinking about the power of those who have gone before us, and in the Celtic tradition, they're still with us.
Yes.
And there's power in, we all have people that have gone before us. Mm-hmm. So there's power in tapping into those folks who are there, and they are on our side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's with my dad and my grandson. In fact, it was really spooky. My dad collect elephants, and as this itty bitty little infant, unshaped by society, what does he love most? Elephants. I had a collection of Glenn Miller CDs that had belonged to my dad, and I just happened to play them for Devin. He went berserk. He loved Glenn Miller. But it was so comforting, because I sort of sensed my father's presence at those moments, and I loved it. And I thought, this is a great gift. Very real.
This is about the larger picture.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
That's the larger picture, the larger story, just what you're talking about with the forgiveness. And we have to have the strength to do what is, in our opinion, correct or right or good, and not and have no expectations. It's just like the Glenn Miller thing. It's a larger picture, much larger than the
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the flower in the gravel, connecting to forgiveness, I heard a description of forgiveness once as forgiveness is the perfume that a flower casts back upon the boot that crushed it.
Well, I have one last biblical connect the dot. If I can get to the proper page, I'll put this all in correct order. Here we go. Philippians. And I love this. And I'm going to correct Paul. Bishop Barrett at Trinity suggested in the passage, be pure as God is pure, should be read, or the Greek translation could also be compassionate. So be compassionate as God is compassionate. And I resonated deeply with that. So in this passage, when you hear me say compassion, I'm substituting it for the word pure that Paul writes, or that we have in this passage. So this is Philippians 4:9, and I love it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is compassionate, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. That's Paul practicing his presence.